to Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as the Texans are 4-1. They are 4-1. All right, and there's Mark Vandermeer ready for action, folks. He's taken, ladies. Sorry about that. But great call from him last night, Andre and John Harris. A big, big, big win. One of the best moments ever in NRG Stadium history. And we're looking at it, breaking it all down for you right here. We're here till 5 o'clock. The coach's show with D'Amico Ryans comes on right behind us. And we'll see if he talks about this. But, Clint, that run game was odd yesterday. it was odd just to me, and it seemed like at what point Cam Akers really had it going, especially the drive where they scored a touchdown, where it just seemed like it was a offensive line run the football type of drive that resulted in an easy walk-in touchdown by Cam Akers, and he was the man on the field in the backfield producing. And then Dare Ogunbowale just seemed to be the guy. Turned in the guy, ended up getting 15 carries in the game as the lead back, and they seemed to struggle a little bit more in the second half, but was important for them. CJ got 27, almost 30 yards in the run game as well. But it was interesting to watch yesterday how the one run game at times looked good, but then came back to seeing what we've been seeing.
Yeah, I don't see, like, if you're really trying to get the run game going, I don't see any game plan where you go in and Dare Ogunbowale is going to get more touches than Cam Akers. I don't even.
Those are your two available.
I can't even wrap my head around how that is possible going into a game, much less once the game gets cranking. And it's clear that Cam Akers, I mean, he's averaging over five, at one point he was averaging over 5 yards a carry, and then he even ended up averaging 4.7 yards per carry. He was clearly your best back, and whether we're talking about catching the ball out of the backfield or we're talking about running the football, I know Dare Ogunbowale's had his moments, and I understand we talked a lot yesterday about the confidence and the trust of that clearly D'Amico Ryans and company have in him. Maybe
he's a fantastic third down back. He is becoming that.
I mean, yeah. There's a dynamic when you get up 17-3. Maybe there's a dynamic there if Cam Akers fumbled earlier in the year and you're a little worried about the turnover, so you go with the more sure-handed guy. Okay, I mean, I guess I can understand that. But I just, to me, as that game unfolded, it was very, very clear that if you were going to run the football, Cam Akers was going to give you the best chance to do so. And it seemed like none of that was taken into consideration. They had their mind up that made up that they were just going to ride with, two-plus yards of carry Dare Ogunbowale at that point in time. And again, I understand wholeheartedly, I'm not changing my tune, by the way. I understand in certain moments in a game when you want to have the guy in there that you just flat out know is going to be in the right place at the right time and is less prone to fumble possibly. He's less prone to make a mental mistake. He's maybe a little bit better at pass protection. Whatever the case may be, I'm not making a case for Dare. I'm just saying there is one in the football world where I could see that running back going, okay, the situation calls for me to have the guy in there that I got a little bit more confidence in, maybe not the best runner. But it was clear Dare Ogunbowale was going to get significantly more touches than Cam Akers, no matter what Cam Akers did. So that in-game moment was very interesting to me.
They must have saw something or felt,
yeah, I don't,
comfortable. I don't know if it's the pass protection. I don't know what it is. It was weird to see. Damn, look at that drive he had. Successful.
Yeah.
And what we've seen, and then
maybe these guys, which I went on a rant last week, Ron, the whole thought of these running backs and schematically what they do best, and one guy being a fit, one guy not being a fit, I'm so tired of hearing about that crap. But maybe they look at it and Dare is a better fit in some of the downhill stuff. I don't know. I can't make sense of it. But that part of it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Of you're already limited. It's not like this is Joe Mixon where he's the starter and no matter what he's doing, he's gonna be the guy that gets the bulk of the carries. Like, you're in a situation now where you got to feel this thing out, man. In the first half, whoever's running the ball the best, whoever's giving you the best chance, should play more.
Yeah, there was nothing that said Cam Akers benched.
Well, yeah, our limited escape. I mean, everything pointed towards Cam Akers being in the huddle. If your intentions are to move the football and score points, Cam Akers should have been in the huddle, and he just wasn't as much as I thought he would have been. The other thing is, it happens so often that I'm tired of talking about it, but it's disgusting. It's just the lack of interest in being physical at all it blows my mind, man.
I see your mouth.
I mean, it blows my mind, man. Like I've just
who were the culprits this week?
I mean, one of the very first plays of the game, Dalton Schultz and Laremy Tunsil. I mean, it is.
Are they over there together?
No, Dalton was on the right and Laremy was on the left. But I mean, it's just like even when like Dalton let a guy cross face. I mean, he's in that hip position on the line of scrimmage, and there's a defender, and I think it was a safety or undersized linebacker. It was not one of their interior guys. And he jumped the snap pretty good and got across Dalton's face. But it's like Dalton just said, well, hell with it, screw it. Like instead of like burying him, like just burying him and just pushing him into the pile and giving your running back a chance to pull up and cut off your back, it was like he just stood there like, oh, okay.
Where's your damn head at?
I mean, it just like the I don't know if these guys, which the part to me that's the most confusing is D'Amico strikes me as a guy that would pause that film in a team meeting and go,
we don't like that.
Dalton, talk to me about this. Like, why did you quit? Like, you just quit on all 10 guys. You just quit and allowed that defender a free shot at the running
back. That's what you see from D'Amico doing that?
Yes. I mean, I would think being he just got through in the damn press conference talking about, hey, if you ain't physical, you ain't playing for us. Like, a guy that preaches physicality and get your guy and never quit and strain. Strain means when it's not ideal and things are really hard for you, continue to fight, continue to push. Like, when you're the tight end and you're run blocking and somebody beats you across your face because they get off the snap a little quicker than you do, like, you don't just quit. You just bury them in the ground wherever they're at, or you push them into the back of the tackle and cause a traffic jam so the tailback can cut off of your backside. You don't just quit. I mean, it just... It has to be.
They don't feel like a embarrass somebody coaching staff. I feel like they might sit him down.
No,
and talk
I just think.
Himself.
No, I don't think it's. I didn't mean that. Like, I don't think he would set out to embarrass somebody. I think it's embarrassing. That effort is so embarrassing. Like, I would think D'Amico would say, "Man, you got to talk to me about this," and then switch right over to 76 or 78. Hey, man, you got to talk to me about this right here. Like, what are we doing? Like, I mean, it's. It has to be. Obviously, they're allowing it. I mean, we're a year and a half into this thing. I mean, obviously, they're allowing it, but it's just, it's mind blowing, man. It's mind blowing with a couple guys where it's just, and again, it's not getting beat. It's not just getting beat. It's the like getting beat and then just, oh shucks.
Lost that one.
Oh man, let me get back in this huddle. It just Schultz is one guy, and then like. The next series, they're running outside zone again, Ron.
Is that what you think they're doing, Tyler? Snapping.
It's what it looked like, Schultz did. Damn it, man.
Darn it.
Hey, but then, seriously, a series later, Dalton Schultz has got a guy on the outside zone, and you couldn't hit him up no better. He's driving his feet, but it's like he's in perfect position, and he knows he's got him, and he's just driving him. And I'm like, how do you go from aw shucks to that? Like, I don't understand. And it's like out of the gate, first drive, too. It's just, that stuff blows my mind. So whether we're talking about the decisions to give Daria Gumbo, to continue to go Daria Gumbo Wale instead of Cam Akers, who's clearly your better running back and is clearly seeing things better, or it's just the couple of guys just inability to be a dog, man.
I can't wait till you watch that on the All 22. You might blow up, pull a hip. In your anger.
I might screen record that one.
first drive of the game.
They I mean, hey, that's one down. Thing. That's one thing I'm gonna say about this. Like them three dudes inside. Like Shaq Mason struggled a little bit over the last handful of weeks. But Shaq's trying to hurt somebody. I mean, with Juice and even Kenyon. Kenyon'll miss something. He's not perfect by any means. But like, they're at least they're like, if a guy beats him in pass protection, damn it, they're going to chase him back there, and they're going to be there to help CJ up. You got a couple of these guys. Oh man, what plays next?
Here we go. Next one.
I mean, it's just that they start looking around like that. Like the play is still going on, and they're looking around like, boy, I hope I don't get hit. I don't know, man. I just that blows my mind, man.
Yeah, someone texting, accountability is not embarrassment unless your efforts were so poor that they are embarrassing, LOL. Yeah, I don't get the sense, for me, and I'm not saying it isn't warranted or needed, I don't get the sense that D'Amico is watching film and will stop the film, like I'm sure many of your coaches have, to single out somebody.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think...
But I'm not saying it isn't warranted.
When it is,
I don't know if there's got to be an offensive line coach, Ron, or a tight end coach.
But Ron, this is like, let's say, I'll take the team my Razorbacks just beat, Tennessee. Offensively, what's their MO? Play fast, right? If they plan a game, I don't care if they win or lose, and they're playing a game, and he's got a couple of receivers that are just jogging off the football. And no, their identity is play fast, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all we're going to do. That's all you preach from the minute you report at Tennessee. And these dudes are jogging off the football. Like, he's going to stop the film out of just like, hey, man, this is unacceptable. I would think that when it comes to physicality, you got a defensive-minded coach that physicality. I would think that the one thing, like, I'm against defensive coaches walking in and really hammering on offense anyway. I'll be honest with you. Like, as a team, do what you want. Penalties, do what you want. Okay, I get it. But when it comes to, like, the techniques and the fundamentals and the details of a play, like, keep your defensive ass on the defensive side of the football. You take care of that over there. But when it comes to just, like, physicality, like you've got a – he's got – D'Amico Ryans has one of the least physical offensive units in football.
Fair. I think it's fair. Yeah. Especially up front. I think it's fair.
By the way, can I give you one more thing that kind of threw me off?
This the run game, that really took you.
Well, I mean, Dari Agunbowale starts the game, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler, if you'll check the play-by-play, I think there was two runs and a screen to him.
Early in the game to get him the
ball? I think it was the first drive.
I'll have to take a look at it. I know it was fourth and one. And they decided to hand the ball to Dari Agunbowale.
Well, there's you another one. Fourth and one, you're the Houston Texans, and you go, yep, I'm finna hand this thing to
Dari.
I'm finna hand this thing to Dari Agunbowale on fourth and one, man. It just there's so many different facets of it that are really, really interesting. That I just don't know how you even arrived there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting decision. Yeah, it is a screen to Dari and a couple of handoffs to him.
First drive?
Yeah, there's a penalty. Mixed in there.
So tell me, Ron, straight up, how do you get there? If you're the Houston Texans and you get this before Nico goes down, how is your script? How is the first three plays? Pass short right to Dari Agunbowale, -2 yards. Up the middle to Dari Agunbowale, 4 yards. Right guard, Dari Agunbowale, -1 yard. How?
Was there a penalty or somewhere in there that backed him up a little bit, and then they just said, all right, man, we're just going to hand it off. We're just going to hand it off so we don't get ourselves in
first and
trouble.
10. Second and 12, it must have been the penalty right there.
Well, yeah. Dari touching the ball.
Three straight times. First three rattles out of the box. You got Nico.
And the first one was on purpose. There's a screen. The first one was.
I mean, you can't get more intentional than two runs. Handing it to him. Like, I don't know. Like, that.
We don't like that.
The run game and the usage of these running backs is an interesting one.
Yeah, well, we'll see there. Hey, the Texans did get a W, though, and we do it every week, pick our players of the game. You can jump in and participate as well, 713-572-4610, our players of the game. We'll hear yours. And you'll hear ours. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we're going to give our players of the game in just a second. Safe space real quick. I'll be honest. Just saw this on Twitter. Did everybody love the H-Town jerseys?
Hell yeah.
I did.
They were clean.
I did. I loved it. I like when jerseys, really the numbers, like, are bright like that, like your alternate jersey, for them to just jump off the jersey, the number.
Ooh, check out the uniform guy.
That's great. I love them.
That's awesome. But I just say I wasn't a big fan of the H-Town and the H-Town jerseys.
That's fine. Everybody gets their own opinion.
I think it was kind of split. I saw a lot of people. Folks thought it was real, like XFL-ish. But when you don't have, or you can't use, let's say, put it that way,
Champ Slice just said it looks too much like XFL.
Yeah, but when you can't use the history, the boiler blue, ultimately, when you can't use, obviously, those jerseys, then you got to get creative, and it's got to be something newer. It's got to be something that you create. And I just thought overall, I thought they did a kick-ass job. I love the simplicity of just a couple of colors, not doing too much.
I really like the accessories we saw on a bunch of guys. Love with that H-Town blue. It was popping on some dudes with, like, you know, elbow pads and different things they added onto it. That looks sharp.
Yeah.
They're cool. They're cool.
Red ones are still my favorite.
Yeah, I can't wait to see those in uniform. It is a deal of, like, I will say this about all of the jerseys I've seen. Now, we haven't seen the red ones yet. They have looked better seeing them, in pads. Like, I've expected more after seeing them first.
Right.
And then when they've gone in pads, I don't know, they haven't held up as much in pads. I think the red ones will. We already saw that mannequin of Andre at the Hall of Fame, and that was every bit as clean as I thought. But the jerk, like, to me, like, when I've seen so many people wearing those H-Town blue jerseys, that I was like, oh, them are clean. Them are clean when you see them on people. I don't know. They weren't as much when they were in pads, but no, I mean they were cool. They worked. Yeah, they worked. I wouldn't say they. I didn't get the XFL look or that the H was trashy, as someone said here on YouTube and Twitch. But yeah, they were cool. All right.
I love the H. When you talk about liking, I mean, it's hard to do an alternate logo. Again, unless you have the Oilers. Oil Derek, or you have like a history to use.
Bury me in the H.
It's hard to just pull one out of the out of left field.
I wish they would just let them use their color.
Yeah.
That H-Town blue color. All right, let's do it. Our players of the game. Clint, I will start. Listen, it was, like I said, it was a really weird game, right? I feel like the defense was the reason that this team, the number one reason that this team won the game. But then there's not anybody, Clint, that you just look at defensively, production-wise, that you just say, damn, that person dominated. It wasn't like somebody had a couple of picks or a couple of sacks or anything. But I'm going to go with Khalil Davis. Khalil Davis, D-tackle, 94, he got the lone sack of the game, and he seemed to do pretty well when he entered the game against the run. They were running the ball, especially early in that first quarter, and then they even got back to it a little bit there in the third quarter. But they were running the ball. I thought he was really good against the run and really good up the middle when they were rushing the passer and not allowing Josh Allen to step up, and Josh Allen had to go towards the perimeter instead of being able to step up into the pocket. So I thought he was good. He tried to chase down Josh a couple of times as well. So Khalil Davis, for me, is my man eye player of the game.
I like Khalil Davis. There were several guys that stood out. I agree with you. Khalil definitely jumped early.
I felt like I had to go defense, but it was hard to figure out.
You had to go hometown, man.
I had to go.
It's fair. When you get a chance,
I got you.
You got to do it, man. I'm going to go with Azeez Al-Shaair.
Yeah. Sick too, boy.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what took this performance.
His flu game.
Yeah, this performance to a whole nother level. Led the team in tackles, and if you watch the game, was flashing consistently in a big way. I heard Andre Ware this morning talking about, you know, you can just tell watching him that he watches a billion hours of film.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like he triggers so quick. And is so sure of what he's seeing and trusts his eyes to a crazy level. He just jumps off the field, jumps off the screen. So led the team in tackles, had two QB hits, had one tackle for a loss, had two pass breakups. And the one up the middle was huge. We've talked, Ron, over the last couple of years about Henry Toa. What was my man's name last year that was a middle linebacker?
Oh, yeah, came from the Chargers, went to Miami.
I can still see him right now, number six, I think.
See his single number. I've lost it. Go ahead.
But those two guys in the middle were a problem.
Denzel Perryman.
Those two guys were ducks versus a team that could pass the football on the interior of the football field. They were ducks. They were a problem. And you wonder this year, has Toa gotten any better? Ain't no way he's gotten that much better. Well, he has. And then you look at Azeez Al-Shaair and you go, well, he's a thumper. He's a downhill guy. Can he cover? Well, he showed Sunday to cover the ability to cover in a major way. That play up the middle, I mean, that was schemed up perfectly. It's a wide cover to Tampa 2, and he's got to run with the tight end. And I believe the tight end was Kincaid, the kid out of Utah. It's a second-year player out of Utah. Really, 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 really good pass-catching tight end in this league. Super athletic. And Azeez Al-Shaair runs with him. I don't know. It had to be 30 yards deep.
That was a hell of a play.
Oh, hell of a play.
That is, if not a touchdown, it's at least.
Oh, it's a touchdown, Ryan.
I'm not sure if that, if.
It's
if,
a touchdown.
If Bullock would have been able to catch him on the other.
Them safeties were so committed to be so wide that I don't think he would have caught him, man. Yeah. But that's that was a huge play. Super athletic play. And I got to give it to my man Azeez.
Yeah, he was big. He was big in the game. Tyler, who's your player of the game?
Yeah, real quick, I'm going to go with the fellow who is now the all-time leading scorer in points for the Houston Texans, this guy.
Ka'imi Noe Aloha Meka Ikeoke Kumupa'a.
The golden leg and foot of Ka'imi winning that thing, making 59 yards look like nothing. Ka'imi's missed one field goal this season over 50 yards. It was when I was in Minnesota watching them get their ass whooped. But that's okay. Ka'imi has become the NFL's greatest. Move over Justin Tucker. I'm going with Ka'imi, the kicker.
Yeah, he passed up Justin Tucker a minute ago.
Yeah,
Justin Tucker's not even the top five kicker.
Silly Longhorn
not a hot take either. But no man, he's. I heard D'Amico say it after the Bears game in the post game. We were talking to him. In the post-game press conference, said he's the reason why we're, and at that time, 2-0. It has not slowed. He is the damn reason why this team is 4-1. He is 8 of 9 at field goals of 50-plus, not to mention the others. And he has won games and kicked. I mean, 59, man. Hell, we could talk about this a little bit later. I felt like maybe they was a little too damn confident in him, but they were playing for a 50-plus yard field goal earlier in the game for him because of the confidence they had in him. But he was special yet again, and a major, major reason why the Texans sit where they do. All right, big weekend of college football, just crazy, crazy upsets. And I think the biggest moment in a school's history. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, a lot to react to on a Reaction Monday, Victory Monday, Mad Dog Monday for the Texans. But this was a crazy-ass day in college football on Saturday, and I just was that the biggest moment in Vanderbilt sports history? Now I will
it's
say
gotta be
They have won two College World Series baseball championships in 2019 and 2014. So they have won an NCAA championship. But is this was what happened Saturday?
Yes.
Was it beating Alabama?
Yes. Absolutely.
It's bigger than a championship.
If you're
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Is Vanderbilt beating Alabama, number one Alabama, who just came off of that classic against Georgia, is that bigger than winning baseball national championships? Going to stupid ass Omaha and winning baseball national championship, is that bigger? Just one game.
It's not bigger for me, but I guarantee you that Vandy fan base, if you're...
You think it's the biggest moment for them?
Absolutely. They'll be talking about that for years. I bet they ain't even mentioned that baseball championship. I bet you half the fan base have a hard time telling you what year it was. Yeah, no, you see they carried the damn goalpost down to Broadway?
I was going to say, they took it down.
And the crazy thing is, if you ever been...
They probably didn't do that for the baseball championship.
No, hell no. I bet you half of them didn't even go to Broadway. If you've ever been to Nashville, Ron, you've been more recent than I have. But that's a long-ass way, man.
That's a hell of a walk.
They ain't talking about...
That's West Nashville.
Yeah, and they're walking all the way to downtown. Now, I understand Broadway reaches down all the way. Still, that ain't the Broadway they're talking about.
Yeah, not the Broadway. They took it down the main spot.
That joker, when I saw it last, the video I saw, they were on Broadway in the middle of all the damn Big Red and all the different...
I saw it passing the stage.
Yes, indeed, man. That's a haul now.
Someone texted, absolutely. No way. No. A national championship is bigger than beating Alabama.
I think it, as we just sit here and chat, I think it is too. But I'm telling you, I'm talking about the way the fan base reacted.
Well, you say, will you remember which moment was bigger?
There is zero doubt about it. I mean,
Tyler shook it down. Because I think, Tyler, if A&M won an SEC championship, that would be bigger than
the
basketball team winning a national championship.
Oh, yeah.
I think if the Texas...
Hey, Johnny Manziel beating Alabama is bigger than any other sport winning a national championship.
Was that moment bigger? Is that moment
bigger? I mean, that's arguably the biggest moment in A&M athletics history.
Is it really?
Yes.
I guess they don't. That's bigger than the indoor track and field championships, I think.
Oh yeah, and the ladies basketball championship.
Like for you as a fan, because
don't forget that one.
Do you if Arkansas won an SEC football championship, is that bigger than what Richardson did?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes.
Is it really? I'm just a Tyler.
Consider yourself a football, air quotes, just, football school.
So if Buzz led them to a national championship, they won it all.
I would have a grand time with it. I'd celebrate it. It'd be awesome. But
it's not as big as if y'all went to Atlanta.
No.
And
not even close.
And beat Alabama for the SEC championship. Not even close. And you too, the same thing.
I'm just saying the way I would respond, and the energy and happiness and enjoyment, entertainment I would get out of it would be tenfold more. I mean, it's not even remotely close. Now, your basketball guys aren't going to say that. I mean, people aren't going to say that. I get that, but I'm just
Pat Bradley would fight you right here.
Yeah, Pat would fight me right now. No question about it. He would understand it though. He would. I mean, here's the deal. Like, baseball winning a national title or Arkansas beating Georgia this year?
Yeah.
I mean, beating the number one team in the country.
Y'all know I love
beat LSU when they were number one in the country with Darren McFadden. And that's one of the biggest moments in Razorback history.
Yeah.
Now, so is Nolan Richardson in the national championship.
Hogs are winners.
Scotty Thurman, that was a big moment.
That was big.
What a shot that was against Duke? Against Grant Hill and Duke?
Yep.
Scotty Thurman.
Raindrop, baby.
But let Sam pull out an SEC championship.
Thurman hit me up the other day, let me know how to get rid of possums, man.
That's not true. Scotty Thurman hit you up the other day and let you know.
I posted something on Twitter about needing to
get... He let you know how to get rid of possums.
Needing to get rid of a possum.
Scotty Thurman.
I posted something on social media about getting rid of a possum up at one of my rental properties in Fayetteville. I'm not a possum, a raccoon. It was a raccoon, actually. And he just sent me a text.
That's wild. Hey, it was a wild day. I mean, I was thinking what
what A&M did is they beat number 9, a top 10 team, Missouri, and not just beat them, beat the hell out of them.
What?
But that was just one. Vandy, as we talked about, upset, the biggest upset in years, beating Alabama at home. And I just, like, I'm watching that game, and I continue to think, I'm flipping back and forth to it. I continue to believe, okay, Alabama's going to take control. Every time I turned over, it seemed like Vanderbilt was in the red zone. Every time I turned over, and they added to the lead. And I'm like, man, this thing is going to happen. But then Tennessee goes down to your Hogs late in the night. Miami got lucky. They're down 35-10 with 3 minutes left in the third. And then the Heisman Trophy frontrunner, I'm sorry, I think Travis Hunter has been great, but this is about the second time that he's done this. They get lucky and win. But USC loses on the road at number 11 to Minnesota. Michigan loses at Washington, number 10. As we said, Missouri gets the doors blown off of them by the Aggies. It was a crazy, crazy day in college football.
Wild. It was wild. I'm gonna take Vandy out of the mix, the Vandy Bama game, because that's clearly one. I mean,
that's one of the biggest ups. That's one of the top 100 upsets in the history of college football.
Vandy is arguably the most disrespected Power 5, Power 4 program in America.
Earlier this year, Saban said the only place he ever went as a head coach with Alabama that was not intimidating whatsoever was Vanderbilt.
Yeah, perfect. Disrespect, right? I mean, but
the name of their football arena is the same as their basketball.
There you go. I totally understand why, but the fact of the matter is that is find me a Power Five, however you look at it now, program that's more disrespected than Vanderbilt, and they just knocked off the number one team in the country.
They have earned it though over time.
I get it.
But you know what? They have been feisty this year.
Yeah.
Now they pulled out. They've had a couple of games. Like, they had Missouri on the ropes, on the road. They went to OT. Who was it? Virginia Tech? Did they get Virginia Tech? They got Virginia. So they've been feisty this year.
Hey, true story. Vanderbilt recruited me coming out of high school. And I've
never even gave it a chance.
The first five schools that, because I didn't quarterback my junior year. I only quarterback my senior year. So the first five schools that offered, and with an offer in hand, I took my visit. Vandy was one of them. I go to Vandy, right? And I didn't know anything about it. I get there, Ron, and the coach, the newer coach, he's going through like how bad they've been. Swear to God, if I'm lying, I'm dying, man. I looked him dead in the eye. I said, "Coach, I ain't your guy." he said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Coach, I don't think I'm not the caliber player you need to fix that problem. I ain't good enough.
Oh, you're talking about I'm not good enough. I'm not your guy.
No, I was honest to God. Like I need a lot of help, Coach. I am not the guy that can fix that problem right there.
I ain't got no use for you."
I said, "No."
If Fry told you could start right off the bat.
Oh, he told me they tried to roll out the red carpet. I knew something was wrong right out of the gate, man. Instead, I go to Arkansas.
Let me get in here and see the city. Come on, you kidding me? I mean, I know it was a different Nashville than today, but
it was better back then, Ron. I'm gonna tell you, it's overwhelming right now. Even for me, a guy that enjoys the social life, it's overwhelming right now, man. It's too much, too busy, I liked it when it was a little bit more slower motion. But anyway.
Yeah, painting up the street.
Come on, man. Hey, of these upsets, Tyler, you're going to like this. I think the biggest win was A&M. These are all monster wins, like you said.
Dig them!
But I think the biggest one, Ron, I think is A&M. One, it was 41-10.
Yeah, and never close. They shot up 10 spots in the polls.
Well, that's right. I didn't realize that yet. I didn't check that yet. Yeah, but that 15. That doesn't surprise me at all. But and that's exactly why I think it's the biggest upset, because A&M is a team like Arkansas's not, Washington's not, Minnesota's not. I mean, these aren't teams that might not even be ranked after this.
Aggie ranked, baby.
But when you look at A&M, like, That was a monster upset, because it's going to catapult you into an opportunity to make a run into that 12-team playoff.
Keep going, Dirty. Keep talking.
Yeah, I think it is Arkansas here. If we say we're taking the Vandy thing out, because that's no question. I don't know what this will mean for Arkansas the rest of the way, but. Like, there was some shakiness with Missouri. Like I said, they were in double overtime at home to Vandy, right? Now, obviously, Vandy's better than what we thought, but there's been some shakiness with Missouri. And I, like, USC and Michigan, I think, are
Michigan.
They feel very
the quarterback situation.
They feel very Penn State-ish to me from the last couple of years, where they're highly ranked, but I don't know how much I feel about them. But Tennessee has been rolling. I mean, rolling through everybody. They looked like an impressive top four team and a team that still could make it to the playoff. And Arkansas dispatched them. Another game. I turn over. I'm looking at the game. Tennessee has the ball and they're leading. I flip over. I'm watching something else. I come back and the damn game's over. I didn't even know. I mean, it wasn't even that long. I'm watching baseball. Got me in trouble.
Hogs are winning. Flipping
over and games are just over. Someone said, tell us about Kansas. Kansas lost their fifth straight game as they were leading in the fourth quarter. That's what they
were at A-State, weren't they?
Yeah. Fifth straight game having a lead in the fourth quarter, and they lost.
Well, much like my feelings for an SEC title comparatively to the other athletics for Texas A&M, I like to think that you value basketball way more so for the Jayhawks.
Hey, man, you give me a football or a basketball national championship, sure. Man. It's pretty equal for me.
Yeah.
give me all that. All right, what you got coming up?
All right, D'Amico, we got a little D'Amico audio. It's going to give you some chicken skin chill bumps. We'll have that for you. Also, a little Would You Rather on this victorious reaction Monday. Would you rather? Would you rather be a 4-1 team with a ton of room to improve, or would you rather be a 4-1 team playing your best football in October and hoping that it lasts? We'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.